from PRX.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, come on in, because I'm here for you. I'm waiting to take you off to dreamland, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, so if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease the loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it. I said, hey, would you pay to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple.
And tonight's episode of Sleep With Me is made possible with the hard work of Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who edited this episode and does our remix theme music. Jonathan Mann on the lullabies. He's at jonathanmann.net. Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Darius Scooter on Twitter, and I want to thank the moderators that run our Facebook listener Facebook group, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. And I want to thank Julian, Jennifer, Lauren Lyda, and Summer and Sarah, who moderate over there. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thinking, feeling, like thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, snoring partner. You know, you've had a long day, you've had a long week, you've had a long, like trying to say, hey, 2017, are you get what's up? How are you gonna, you gonna behave yourself 2017 or what? Whatever it is, I'm gonna try. Like I said, I'm gonna try to craft. I'm gonna try to build. I'm gonna try to establish. I guess that's what I'm gonna try to do, is establish a safe place or a safe. You know what I'm doing? I'm doing this with my hands, where I go back and forth. My hands are moving in different directions on parallel lines. It means me and you. I don't know what they say. I don't know if it's in French or Spanish. Not mano y mano. And not je ne sais quoi. And not comprende. That just means understanding. A safe place of understanding. I guess that is what I'm trying to establish. Because they say, I understand you're having trouble getting to sleep. I don't know exactly what is causing it. Also, I can barely string together sentences sometimes. But here's like what I'd like to do. I'd like to establish a safe place. I'd like to establish an understanding around the safe place, and I'll try to explain it to you. I think by explaining it, I may put you to sleep. That's the goal. What I'm going to do is send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. I'm going to use a pace that a snail, like a snail would say, is languid if they were at the movie theater. Not if we're moving, I think I could out-talk. If snails could talk, who knows what they'd say? I mean, it'd probably be tough to understand with all that, whatever they're covered in, the goop. Also, I do share that. When my brain comes up on this podcast, as it tends to, people say, geez, are you, Scooch, are you a guru? Do you do any? And I say, no, I'm a goo brain. I have a brain full of goo. Right brain goo, left brain goop. And they say, instead of gray matter, I have gray, when an older adult holds up their hands, what does it matter? That's my gray matter is doing that. I guess that's an emoticon type thing. Also, I have emoticon on the brain sometimes. Not tonight. I mostly goo and goop. I think I was trying to mention the languid pace of a snail. Mine is more pacing. Actually, that's weird. Well, no, I guess pacing could be anything. I was thinking about pace. I do pace, but that's one of my hobbies is pacing. Also a business practice, but not during the podcast. I won't do any pacing during the podcast. I constantly try to remind myself, slow down. Take it easy. Be like that band that sings that song, Take It Easy. But if you're wondering what I do, what do you do in your spare time? Hey, I do some pacing, and then, go for walks. And also, if I can't go for a walk, I do, indoor walk pace. But here's the safe place. What was it? Establishing a safe place of understanding. I mean, one, I want you to know you're welcome here. That's why I open the show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary. I mean it, beyond all binaries. If you're up tonight and you can't fall asleep and you're tossing and turning, you're frustrated, I want you to feel like, geez, this is a place for you. And I hope I can put you to sleep. Now, I can't put everybody to sleep, obviously. But I hope at least you feel welcome. You know, even if you don't, like when you go into a restaurant and they're nice, even if you don't eat there, I mean, sometimes then you say, I mean, with this podcast, you don't have to feel bad because I'm not really here. So you could just hit stop. But if you go into a restaurant and then you see the people are so, oh, welcome, you know, oh, and then they say, well, and then they compliment you. Oh, you look great tonight, by the way. And what is that? Lavender smells so good. But then they say, oh, and then you say, wait, so what's on the menu? No, I'm sorry. I have goobrain. I can't eat escargot. Actually, I use snails as a metaphor. I can't eat. Do you serve anything? Oh, no. And you say, well, what? And they say, well, it says it out this. And I say, oh, that's like the joke in Trading Places, escargot. I get it. It's a little dated, but I, you know, believe me, I make those kind of dated pop culture references on my podcast as well. I'm sorry, but I can't eat. And oh, you look, what, did I tell you how handsome? No, I don't eat. I can't eat. I have a goobrain, so I can't eat snails. It's just a thing. And it's not an issue. I guess it is an issue because it like, then you just slowly back out of the restaurant. They say, wow, those people were nice. It's too bad I couldn't eat there. And then hopefully it's a dream. Like in my case, that's usually, but I was actually picturing myself somewhere in Florida. Maybe that really happened. I hope not. And but can I pull this back together to any sensible point? I mean, I try to go slow. Oh, I guess that was, what was my point? Oh, you're welcome here. But also, I will be serving up my goo brain, but in a way, like I'll be using my goo and my goop, and they like communicate across the whatever that thing down the middle of your brain is. The part, I think they call that the part, the brain part, like P-A-R-T, you know, not the other kind of part. That's how they, the right and the left to communicate across that. I think it's some other thing, but that's what we'll call it because it's a little bit different than your part. I was, and just in case you're new, I don't have a part with my hair. I was a boy, you might have heard about this, maybe not because it didn't hit the press, but I was the boy born without a part. And I think there's probably like millions of children everywhere that don't have a natural part in their hair, but I'm one of them. But tonight I'd like to put you to sleep. That sounded like a little bit like a, like watching TV at 2 o'clock on a Saturday comes on. I see. So let me see. Like, let me get the main messages of the opening. If you're new here, I'm glad you're here. I've had a lot of trouble sleeping. That's one of the reasons I make this podcast because I can relate. And that's why I say, you know, I greet you with understanding. One of my strategies is like for me, one of the things that happens when I can't sleep is that I overthink. And I mean, clearly, if you've been listening for the last 8 minutes, you say, okay, this guy's got something going on. And I don't mean in like an IPO or, and I get it. I got some stuff going. It's goop brain. But I think I had a point and I just got myself distracted. But like I'm going to use these liabilities. I've converted them into assets, and the asset is to distract you, to take your mind off of stuff. I'm going to we do about 5 minutes to cover business on the podcast at the top of the show. Then we do like an intro where I try to find a metaphor to describe what the podcast is, and ideally I put a lot of people to sleep because we try to get there and normally, you know, we get close. And then tonight we'll have our serial, like short story series. Oh, no, it's not serial. That was Goo Brain. Goo Brain's in charge of this stuff. It's an episodic series barely related short. No, they're pretty related short stories, but independent. I don't know. I'll talk about that in a minute. But so I've been there. I've been sleepless and have trouble falling asleep. And so I decided to make this show to take your mind off of stuff. I thought I had a point that I was going for. Why do I make this podcast? I don't know, because I've been there. And I guess I just figured, why isn't there any adult bedtime stories? Maybe people would like to tell them one. Maybe it puts you to sleep right away. Maybe it keeps you company while you fall asleep. Or, you know, maybe if you can't fall asleep, like when I was a kid, I couldn't sleep. So I would listen to the radio for, you know, like as a friend. I call myself your boyfriend. Oh, but that was the point I was trying to make, dignity and respect. When I can't sleep, I tend to overthink. That's what I was saying with my brain stuff. And I get these things, I call them brain bots, or you could call them alternative personalities or voices, you know, depending on, you know, I can take it if you say voices, but all these little internal critics and internal anxieties and personality parts and big dreamers, or why didn't you do that? Shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, all of those. I call them my brain bots. I mean, not mine. I call them I can treat your brain bots, and my goal is to treat them with dignity and respect and win them over. Keep them entertained while you fall asleep. Say, hey, brain bots, come on in. I got that. Didn't do so great on that intro. I know. Thanks. Come on, roll on over. You know, I usually say this every once in a while when I talk about brain bots. I do have a picture of me with BB-88. I know the one in the movie was BB-8, but this is BB-88. Yeah, another model. Yeah, 80 models after that model. Correct. It's in the expanded universe. The universe that was expanded inside my goop brain. Yeah, BB-88's in the expanded universe of just a localized fan fiction in my medulla. But anyway, I'm glad you're all here. I'm going to tell a little story for some minute. Like, I'm going to give a little bit more smoothing to your human. And then I'll keep you company. We'll have a little sleepover. And anytime, you know, you just keep a close eye on me, because I really, like, I have this podcast about people sleep. I really don't know what I'm doing. And I know all of you are like special adjustments, they call them. I think they use an MAL word for you, but I say special adjustments. And you're really good at keeping an eye on stuff. And I know you're good at it, like rewinding tapes all the way to the deep past and predicting stuff into the future. And I could use a whole lot of that tonight. So while you're human, well, you know, you just keep an eye on me. But excuse me, brain bots. I'm going to let me. Oh, also, did I tell you how much I love brain bots? I made these shame soda floats for all of you. So you could sip at those. Oh, yes. And you could just, as you taste it, you could say it has my entire history in that float. Yep, but you're right. I should have called him barely keeping it afloat. You're right. What's your name, BrainBot? BB420. Well, I don't know what to say about that. I better move on. Anyway, I'm going to be back. I'm going to talk to you. Oh, hey, human, I'm back. That was a little BrainBot level convo. But that's what I do. I try to take your mind off stuff. And if you have brain bots, or maybe you have some, like, something similar, love to help you. And now usually I try to keep it on the adult level. That's like the subtextual thing with me and the brain bots. I have dignity and respect. I mean, when you have like billions of brain bots within you, and, you know, for about 30 some odd years, I fought the other battle, right? You know, we had disagreements. And I said, well, geez, if you can't defeat them, entertain them. And that's what I would like to do for you. I'd also like to keep you company and take your mind off stuff so you can get a good night's sleep, okay? Because it's tough. And like I say every episode when I remember, I'm glad you're here. This podcast doesn't work for everybody, but I appreciate your time and giving it a try. Give it a few tries. Because not only do I hope, I really yearn to help you fall asleep, all right?
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody.
And welcome back to another episode of Mosaic Memories. I'm your host, Andy Josephs. And we're here tonight to talk about the mosaics that make up our memories and the beautiful mosaics made by our memories. And we have a guest tonight, and she is going to remain anonymous or somewhat anonymous, so that will be very difficult. Well, I'm going to try. Thank you for having me on. And, you know, so this is a Mosaic Memories podcast, or I guess I kind of said that. I'm glad to have you here, and I don't know exactly what to call. Oh, do you have a question? The guest has a question. Go ahead, guest. I was just wondering, you still call it a podcast. I remember the podcast, but because now we physically distribute it in a pod, an MP. We call it a pod. That's what we all decided. So it's delivered in pod format and like a little, I'll show you one. I'll give you one since you were nice enough to be on my show. Now you're only my fifth guest. So I'm new at interviews, but I really appreciate you being here. I'm really having trouble trying to keep you anonymous, but I want to respect your wishes. Well, thank you. Thank you for respecting my wishes. I do appreciate that. But I'm just I'm really stunned, but I know the Mosaic Memories, we focus on, you know, the little pieces of the mosaic that make it up. Still working on the metaphor thing too, but what we'd like to do on Mosaic Memories is talk about a memory and look at the pieces that make it beautiful and whatever edges they may have, whatever shape they may take. Are you ready to go on a Mosaic Memories journey? Yeah, I thought it was funny, though, because Mosaic Memories, when I got heard from you, I was thinking it was a crafting podcast. And then I said, well, there's no such, I didn't think the podcast were round, but that makes sense that you could just share them in physical pod form. And that actually makes a lot more sense. It's a podcast. It's in this pod. And you just plug the pod in, I assume, and listen to it. It's exactly, exactly. Yeah, I think it'll catch on. I think the Mosaics memories may catch on, but I'm glad. So let me check my notes. I can edit this out, hopefully. But okay, so after, let's politely say this. This is why I had to check my notes. The decentralizations of the government, when after that happened, you grew up in a part of the former United States that was well known for its city-states. I did grow up in a part known for its city-states. Now, we were more of a town. Now, our town was part of the Peachtree-affiliated zone, and we were a stopover. And so we were affiliated, and my father was the caretaker of the town, or, you know, those went through different names for those jobs. But he worked for the Peachtree-affiliated group. Okay, we'll get into that. Excuse me, my guest. But the reason I asked you to be on the show was it was not for a big history lesson on affiliated zones and city states. But those are fragments. But I was here to have you on for a smaller history lesson. Oh, yes, a seasonal history lesson, I believe. Yes, now. So why don't you take us, let's just go with that. Why don't you take us to the season you're thinking of in the memories you have of it? Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. And thanks for having me on as a guest again and for doing your best to respect my privacy. Now, my daddy, he was always a big fan of Halloween. Even when I was a young child, he took Halloween very seriously. And, you know, other kids, as I was growing up, you know, there was a brief time when I was very young, but young enough to remember that the holidays, there was a time when the holidays would compete with one another. And I think when Daddy was young, he just preferred Halloween when in his youth. You know, he preferred Halloween to things in the United States. This is the former U.S. Christmas or the holiday season. That's a more proper terminology. Or Thanksgiving. And then there's other, you know, holidays that people could be fans of, like Easter or summer break. And cultural holidays are important as well. But my father was a fan of Halloween, and he was a fan of it. And my mother, I mean, I knew of my father's, and his father, I believe, was like that as well. Maybe it was his mother. He didn't like to talk about it, but I just make an assumption there. Excuse me, but he, you know, decorating and all those things. And I can kind of remember, you know, before the fall, before that we went trick-or-treating. I have a vague memory of going trick-or-treating with my father. And but he has a lot of pictures of it, even when I was a baby, going trick-or-treating. And I said, Daddy, you ate all the candy, didn't you? So he loved it. But in a way, my father was a serious man. And he took it as almost like a, he wasn't competitive, but I think that was driving him underneath, was to have the best Halloween, make it the best, and those things. And then as he became leader of our town, Farnsworthington, that was the name we were assigned, and that we called it the Farn, you know, but Farnsworthington. As father became leader, you know, and there was so many adjustments in those days, everybody getting used to this new lifestyle. And father decided very quickly to hold a yearly Halloween ball. And, you know, ball was in loose terms, you know, based on the traditions of the balls of old. But father would just do his best, and this would be something And this became our town's only, you know, our yearly celebration. And Father would spend the year collecting and saving and scavenging so that the ball would have candy for the children. And some of the candy would be older, but that those things, you know, things would change. And then things have changed a little bit now. But there would be punch. He would have punch for the adults and the music. Anyone in town that played music, they would rehearse. And it was open to all, you know, the different church-going folks. They would come and sing, and you know, they would adjust. It became our one holiday, and it was a very uniting thing. And it was a breath, you know, something to look forward to and a place to breathe. And my father, of course, he put a lot of work into it because he took it as everyone celebrated. I could see sometimes on his face, you know, maybe one or two of the lines around his eyes would go slack. You know, but he saw it as one of the lifelines for the town, you know, other than, you know, making sure the Peachtree Affiliated Group kept up with their commitments to our town. And the people of town enjoyed it for a time, for a very long time. For most of my childhood, they seemed to enjoy it, and it seemed to work. But then, as things declined elsewhere, they declined in our town as well. And as unity became a thing of the past, you know, that's what Father... you know, the diversity of costumes, the diversity of townspeople, even the diversity of ideas or coping mechanisms, Father was all for those things. But the idea of keeping us unified and working together. And, you know, things really weren't that short at that time. But as things got shorter and shorter, the people started to move away, even though our town was under the purview of the Peachtree Affiliated Group. Maybe your listeners won't know, you know, hope became in short supply. You know, I think that was another thing that Daddy wanted, was for people to have hope. You know, and I don't know, so I'm trying to think of the best way to explain this to your listeners, but as things got shorter, they became in our area, and in the South as a whole, the Southern United States, Southeastern United States, there became different cooperatives. And I don't know if you've heard of the stories of these cooperatives, but there was a creative use of that word. And you, for the most part, a lot of our townspeople very quickly, within 1 year, to the next year in Halloween, the majority of our town had chosen one of these two cooperatives to work with, and the two cooperatives were set at odds. So these cooperatives, from what my understanding is, they encouraged cooperation only within their members, and joining us or you're not a part of us type philosophy. And seeing anyone, like very competitive cooperatives, I guess that is a creative use of the word, as you said. Well, yes, it was a dismal time. I mean, if you weren't in a cooperative, it could divide, you know, they use different techniques. The more members a cooperative has, you know, that was when we were on ration. So they would like in ration taxing. And then, so, you know, supplementing your rations and all those things, they were using many different techniques to get more and more people upset the balance of the cooperatives. And the Peachtree Affiliated Group just maintained, you know, they had become kind of toothless, but it was a different time in their history. And at that point, the next Halloween came. And that one particular ball was a disaster because as the cooperatives were somewhat new, less than a year old, people were a little bit brasher and looking to make an impression and still seeing the upsides of the cooperative and not the downsides. And, you know, they ruined that ball. And Father said there would never be another one. And I had thought, you know, he was kidding, you know, in the aftermath of the ball that he, you know, because he just, he made everyone leave. And, it, you know, he went into a quiet, he was very upset with the result. And I think for him, it was both a real and a sign of the discord within our community. And that was a reflection of the overall discord, the discord of the times. It was a discordant time. I guess I'm using that word a lot. I'm a little bit nervous here, trying to maintain my anonymity, and I know I'm not doing the best job. Well, don't worry. You're doing great, and we could always, you know, it's just great to have you on this. This is really, these pieces of the mosaic are starting to come together. And I feel you going, so because now we have broken pieces of mosaic balls, almost mosaic balls. Now, would they wouldn't be able to roll at all, would they? Because they have, unless you smooth it, then it wouldn't be. I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. They're great to be on your show. Thank you again. But so Father said there would be no ball. And as the months passed and I saw he was more serious and he had grown to arguing with the Peachtree affiliated group and telling, you know, making demands on them to help the people. But it was really a strange time because things were still, things were still tolerable. They were uncomfortable, but tolerable. And so Father didn't really have a lot of maneuverability. Especially when these cooperatives could, at the time, offer, you know, 1.5 rations in exchange. You know, you could trade out. Anyway, it was tough to compete with that. And it was tough to compete with the visceral nature of the cooperatives, giving people a false sense of empowerment. And I guess Father was probably a little bit embarrassed, or, you know, his power had been taken away. He saw the ball, Halloween, as an empowerment. And now they saw disempowerment as a way to empower the cooperatives by falsely empowering the members by pitting them against one another in hopes that one of the cooperatives would be empowered by disempowering the other cooperative entirely. It sounds like a power struggle for sure. Well, it was. I mean, truly was. It truly, truly was. So Father, I would ask him because I began to see, I mean, a cloud sweep over my father because this was something we also shared and it was something that I had a huge investment in, you know, we would spend, this was what we would do together, work on things for the ball. In December, we would do this. We would plan these things. We'd plan our costumes. We would always dress in themed costumes together, Father and I. And what was your favorite costume you shared with your father? I'd rather not talk about that. I'd rather just talk about what I'm talking about right now. Okay, good. I'm sorry. Oh, so no problem. I just need, you know, I have some boundaries and I appreciate you respecting them. I mean, it's just hard memory to go that, to go into the costumes. So we prepared, we were always preparing every week, every night we were preparing for the ball. And it was something, as I said, for us to invest in and look forward to and be productive and to be a real part of the unity of our town, you know, seeking candy or making deals and saying, well, if we collect this many, you know, those times, you know, defining different things to trade in exchange for candy, say, well, I got one more piece of candy. And then when we would try to make it, it was a joy. It was something, that was the time sometimes my father would laugh and joke and I'd feel close to him. And it was, and so I missed it terribly. And I would tell my father, and I was just, I was just a child, or I was on the cusp of adulthood, a young adulthood. And I was learning many things about myself that I'd rather, you know, that's part of my anonymity. But there were times I used different strategies. I begged my father. I cold shouldered him. I tried being childish and he would not. I said, Papa, please, let's just have this ball. And he said to me, finally, he had had enough. And he said to me, these are serious times. And there's no more time for this, whatever he said, triff-traffling. I said, Father, that's not even a word. And he said, I'm being serious. And he said, the time for things like that is past. And I think I stopped listening when he said, I'm very serious, and these are serious times. I think it triggered something in me. And I said to myself, well, I guess I have to take this Halloween ball a bit more serious myself if I want to make it happen. And see my way through my father to say, well, this needs some fixing. And I think what Father said to me, he was still talking, you know, but I had stopped kind of listening. But he said, you know, we need to counteract the influence of the co-op. I guess I was listening. Because he said we need to counteract the influence of the cooperatives and, you know, maybe the administrative and powers that be at the Peachtree-affiliated group, you know, water profiteering, all those things. Father said, that's what we need to do. And I thought about these cooperatives and the Peachtree and all these things. And I said to myself, you know, as I said, this is serious. This is a serious portion of this mosaic. And I thought about, and I learned a little bit more about these cooperatives. I talked to my friends whose parents would show, you know, this was that time, right at the time when children began to mirror the parents in a way and say, well, if you're not in, then, you know, I was able to still, I think because the children also subconsciously said, well, hers, the dad's the one with the candy. And I thought about what these groups had, and they were powerful groups, but I said, there must be more powerful authority than these groups. Maybe a more powerful authority than the Peachtree affiliated group. What could it be? And I thought about some of the things my father would rant about, you know, now that he was Halloween free. And then I thought about, I think it was one day when I was just sitting outside and I was watching the water spout on our roof. And it was one of those damp evenings, hadn't rained in a little while, but the leaves that were up in the gutter, I don't know if it was the humidity or the night air, but it started to trickle down. Is that condensation of water trickling down? And that's when I said, well, that is a more powerful authority right there. I said, the water allotments, because people can, you know, with growing, yeah, I said, the water would be the key. And so I contacted this high authority. I guess it wasn't a high authority, still lived on the same sea level as we did, but more powerful authority, more influential authority. And, you know, I'm here to stay anonymous, but I had learned a few things on my way to the cusp of adulthood. I had learned some things about myself and what I could do, and Father did not know these things. The cooperatives did not know these things, and my friends did not know these things, but I knew them to be true. I knew what I could influence. But I got a hold of this authority, and I at the time, too, I swore that swore them to secrecy, and we made a deal. And we made a wonderful deal, and a deal that you could say is fair, but it was the best deal I could make. And it was an exchange for everyone, where everyone in our town would win, where if you came to the ball, it would be a costume. The concept was if I could get them to give me enough to put the power back in Father's hands, to put the power back in the town's hands. In some sense, we'd be cooperating in a different way with another authority outside of the Peachtree affiliated group, outside of the cooperatives. But really, the power was in the people. I mean, the people at this time, that's anyway, you know as well as I do. So I said, well, if we have the ball and if to attend the ball, you win a prize. which is water allotment, a very generous water allotment, and a generous monthly water allotment for a year till the next fall. And, you know, that water allotment would come with some caveats. One, no trouble at the ball. That would be to even start your water allotment. Two, you'd already have to be a member of our community, currently a member of our community. Three, your monthly water allotment, you went against unity, and this would be judgmental, you know, because Father was already in charge of solving these kind of conflicts. But you could lose your monthly water allotment very easily, and it could not be transferred. That was another, you know, we figured it out. The people I was working with, they were very sharp people. And then what about the other prize? Like, what were the prizes? Oh, well, you know, the water was to get the people to come and to maintain the peace. And then the prizes were very generous, but not too generous as to sow discord or jealousy. But they were luxury rations, we'll just say. And some, you know, some working opportunities. But then we would also reveal it takes away from the buildup to the ball, I guess is what I'm saying. And what was the cost of all this, of all the rations, the water, the prizes? Like, what was the cost of acquiring all these things to make the ball, to pull the ball off? Well, that's a great question. The cost was peace and unity. If you wanted the prize, the cost would be peace and unity. You could maintain, I don't think a cooperative would keep you if you're not sharing and letting your rations be taxed. If your rations are non-transferable, can't be taxed. Well, I kind of more was getting at the expectation of the benefactor. What did the benefit of the provider? What was the cost for providing? Oh, well, that's part of my aim. I prefer not to answer. The cost, the benefit was very high. Keep our town unified and have this ball. So the prizes were going to be, oh, there was big prize. It was a lot of prizes. That was another thing. I think I'm forgetting in this story. I guess my memory can be fragmented, but, you know, we had different age groups and top three prizes and then little prizes. I mean, at the very least, if you were a member of our town and you didn't cause any trouble for the ball, you got your monthly water allotment, which was much more generous than, and it was in supplement to what the Peachtree affiliated group was providing. And what about the risk of the cooperative? Like, what did you anticipate their reaction? Because you were just barely a young lady at the time. Well, yes, I was, but I had this team that I was now working with, this group, and we all knew the cooperatives would be furious. But our town was small, and it really wasn't worth it. You know, we were on a supply line. We were a distant ways away, and we didn't really have any like grand natural resource for the cooperatives. You know, this was more about acquiring numbers of people. So I was confident, and the group was confident that the allotments, people would say, would slave lab. We don't want anything to do with you. Why would we give up now? We have something to lose. And your cooperative is based on some, you know, it was empowering and to have actual water credits, luxury rations. Those are real things. And then to have the next year to look at hope. To prepare for. So the next stage was selling Father on this whole thing. And, you know, I don't think my father listens to podcasts, so I don't know if he'll hear this, but I mean, I'm sorry. But, you know, Father did have to be fooled. He couldn't, I don't think any father would, maybe some would accept his young daughter coming to him and with bearing this very generous, it's not generous, so that's just a word. There was a lot in exchange for, but the exchange would be fair, would seem to be fair. So, you know, we figured out an idea, you know, and to play the father's ego. And, you know, someone that had lived at our town while father was in charge, we had them pitch father on the idea. And, you know, kind of guide father as he decided. And then, you know, I didn't, well, excuse, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but wouldn't you have wanted the joy of bringing this to your father, of being the one who saved the Halloween balls that saved your town? Well, I mean, if that was in the possibility, but that just wasn't in the cards, as they say. I'm a realistic person, and what I couldn't risk was, you know, father saying no, because the wheels were in motion at this point. There was no saying no to this plan in any way, because it was also clear to me that even if father didn't like it, it was going to be what was best for our townspeople. So it was just kid gloves, I guess, your kid with kid gloves trying to guide you. You know, back in the old days, father would tell me about trying to trick his father and his mother and get him cotton candy. He loved cotton candy. Okay, so if you don't mind, so tell me about how the ball went. Well, tell me about this ball. Well, I can't tell you about the ball without the preparation. So, you know, once the father was made aware of this opportunity, he took it very seriously again. If his seriousness was an indication of his happiness, he was very happy. But it seemed to weigh on him in some way. Maybe that it was too good, not to be true, but the goodness of the opportunity to save things and to save Halloween was a little bit hard on him. So I did my best as we prepared to try to light. I guess my relationship of change to father and to Halloween in preparation in the time leading up to it. Maybe because of my machinations or whatever he'd say. And as a counterpoint to father's increasing seriousness, I tried to maintain a lightness. And I think that was an activity that was also going on. If you catch my drift, I'd remain anonymous, but that the heaviness of father was inspiring me, or maybe it was just a way of adjusting to have a lighter attitude. And I mean, just to help dad, because he was, and I think it worked well because we were preparing. And then I said, why don't we take this to the town? And then town's members started helping us prepare. And sometimes I would have to smile and grind my teeth at the same time with father, and other the townspeople would as well, because, you know, we were getting ready, and then he was getting, and this wasn't the time for perfectionism. This is the time for, do what you can-ism. When you're scavenging decorations, or, you know, trying to paint pieces of wood or rocks to say, well, this is a pumpkin rock. It's close to round. The reality is, father, not all pumpkins are round anyway. But it'll be orange if we can find, you know, we're working on orange. So we did our best. And I guess, like, something was growing in me, which was, I don't know. Maybe I saw something in father that, like, that he was just, he was just, that, I don't know. I mean, the daughter's not supposed to wonder about these things, especially at this time, but I wondered if it was daddy's fault I'm sorry, father, but I was wondering if it's his fault that he couldn't maintain the balance in the town. And then maybe I'd learned a little bit too much about the way the greater world worked, but it wasn't true. But it was a doubt in my mind now that Maybe my father was too much of a serious man. And so I started to be more light, and this was a good thing. And it seemed, you know, no one wants to help, even if there's water. It's easier when you're nice. And not that father wasn't nice. He was just very stern. That is the word I was looking for, stern. And I was able to, you know, give people a room to laugh and not to chase them away. And I think, you know, the love a daughter has for a father, I wouldn't be chased away like these other townspeople. But now I knew another risk, another threat to the unity of our people. And I tried to balance things out, and I think I did a good job. And, you know, because people started to get very excited. And other than the prizes, it wasn't that much different. We just had to do our best. Again, one of the goals behind the scenes was not to make it too grand, not to get expectations too high, not to make it like the prizes too big. You know, the prize would be the reunification of our town, and not in any even grand way, to just to say, well, geez, if I have to be nice to you to keep the water flowing, I will do it. And if I get a candy bar and before dressing up as, you know, whatever people chose to, you know, a singing mule, I remember, was one of my favorite costumes. Now, what was it? Could you tell us about who won the costume contest? Well, is that a leading question? Well, why don't we go just to the ball then? So the ball came. And there was people were excited, and we did have to find a way to deal with welcoming people from other nearby communities, and you know, with the understanding they wouldn't get, you know, we had figured most of that out, and we tried to make it welcoming, but it was also how do you do things like this? You know, how do you have a We did our best, and we were having a time. There was dancing, and then we were getting ready for the costumes, and people were dressed up and having fun. And it was real fun, and even Father was having a good time. I saw him, and if in the past the balls had reduced one line from his eyes, there was two or three reduced this year. So we were having quite a time. I mean, Father was even dancing with some of the women in town, which were hadn't. It was nice. And of course, all nice things. This wouldn't be a story, you know, if it didn't have another piece to it. I wouldn't be here to tell you. And I wouldn't feel strange about maintaining some sense of who I am. But both cooperatives came. You know, they had heard. I don't know if people, you know, word had gotten to the cooperatives. And even though they were toothless, they were also spineless. And I think they thought they would come in and they would rain on a parade, to put the words, because they didn't really have any control. And there was, you know, enough of us townspeople. And you can't take a water credit. It's just not possible. The you know, these companies, these groups had figured out, you know, so they didn't really have any power. But they, you know, when you take your power away, you know, people can get irritable. So they showed up, and they showed up with big talk and loud noises. And, you know, telling my father this and that, and they interrupted the costume contest. That's why, you know, I was trying to lead up to that we wouldn't. And then they said the costume contest had canceled, and Father said it isn't. And for a short time, I thought things were going to spiral a little bit out of control. Things went from pleasant to serious very quickly. And those lines reappeared on my father's face. And even though the cooperatives, the groups that came from these two, you know, thought they could tear a town back apart, they couldn't. but they thought they could with the brash attitudes. And one of the things we had done that was going to be a surprise to people that weren't involved, oh, it was open to all, was, you know, you see those videos of the groups coming up with the group dance together. Like the people at the Big Star Movie Studio, if you ever heard of that, but I don't, they still show their video sometimes, and they're all dancing to that song about thrilling, or thrillers. And that was what I had planned next, so I gave the sign to the band, you know, to start up their version with the sound effects, and then to the children and the adults to start the play, you know. And I took control of the situation. And I mean beyond silently, I took control of the situation. And I think this will be crossing, losing my anonymity because I tried to dance around it. But Father was aware of my capabilities when it came, I think he was aware, and I think he had tucked it away in the back of his mind, to, you know, because I was his child, and he wanted me to both believe that I was just like any other child, and he knew that people didn't need to know what I could do to say, I mean, I just not danced around it too much, but to say I had some powers, and so... I rarely used my powers because there wasn't, at the time, you know, I had mostly everything I needed. Like I said, life was tolerable, and up until the past year, things had been pretty good with Father and I, but I wasn't about to stand for these cooperatives, ruining our ball, dividing our people, and stirring up trouble, but I'd seen Father's way of dealing with it, and I think that's what affected my reaction. And so I took my powers, and I used the power of dance, because we were already all dancing together. And so I took those cooperative members under my power, or using my, I mean, it's tough to explain, but let's just pretend that they were under my power. They were really under the influence of a power, below, you know, deep below all of us, that keeps our feet planted on this planet Earth as we continue to rotate and revolve around the sun. But I used my powers, and I used it to make these people dance from the collective, to dance in, what do they call it, it wasn't really a flash. It wasn't flash dancing. That was another one, another song. But we were dancing to the song Thriller, and they began to dance along, and I knew the moves, and I was in sync, and I was dancing. And it wasn't just one song. We had segues into things from the Rocky Picture Show. And all the little children were doing their own dances, and then we would dance back, and there was dance-offs. And I made those cooperative members dance along the whole time, and their eyes at first were a little bit confused, but then as they, you know, had a loose hold on them, and then they, I think most of them started to think they were just dancing along, or the night was strange. And then towards the end, I danced them right out of town. I danced them right out of town and right to the edge of town, dancing the whole way, moonwalking a bit of it, but I didn't want to wear out their shoes either. I should have, probably. But as I was dancing them out of town, Father had caught on at some point, and he had interrupted everything at that point once he knew. I think once he saw the moon walking out the door, he called to me and said my name and called the band to stop and stood up and said, "What are you doing?" And he said in a very serious way. Now, I was still had that thrill of dance, the adrenaline, the sweat, The breathing from dancing myself. Father, he did not dance. He watched the dance and smiled. And as I panted, as I cooled down, and my muscles were loose, my manner was loose, and I was buzz. You know, I had a little dancing buzz. We've been laughing the whole time. And I felt like not only was it, I felt like this dancing them out of town was a symbolic win for our town. And I just felt like, you know, the night had turned and it had turned back again. But for Father, it wasn't enough. He knew I had taken control of the members of the two cooperatives. And he called for me to take them beyond dancing, to dance and another way. And then he tried to take me aside and say, you know, this is our opportunity to save the town. And I said, exactly, Daddy, we're here. We're saving the town. The town will be saved every month when the water. And I said, we're having fun. And everyone was looking at him in confusion. You know, he had been on this road for some time. And authority is both a title and, you know, a way of behavior, I believe. And he wanted more from me. And I told him no. I said, Father, they're going to dance right out of town, and that'll be it. And I think maybe his brain started to make the connections that maybe, I don't know, he never. It's okay, take your time, take your time. Well, I mean, then my father, he thought he was going to take things into his own hands, and I had to stop him. He ran out the door as I danced them away, and I had to take Father within my control, and I just froze him in a very serious way, where he was standing in one place and he could not move. He was very unhappy with me, and but the manifestation was that is that the town didn't even know about my powers, but my powers had influenced them indirectly. And the lightness, I guess I had to change it again. I said, I grounded my father, and I told him that. And I said, excuse us, lady, you know, excuse us, you know, and now, you know, not that long, the relief of them people, the party went on, but it was over for Father and I. And, you know, Father was made aware. I had to ground my father. I had to tell him, what I had done, what the cost was going to be to keep our town in water and extra rations, what the commitment was, and their father, that he was grounded, that he could no longer, even symbolically lead our town. And but I knew some of the commitments I made, it was going to be a brief time for me to lead it, and I was much too young, you know. And so, you know, it's going to be complicated. I don't know. This is a mosaic part. My memory doesn't even quite record it, but it was the end of my childhood that day, you know, with my father. Now, let me tell you what he told me. He said, I love you so much. And he was very proud. He was both devastated and devastated by the love. You know, I mean, our relationship was forever changed that day. I mean, not many people, you know, and I guess when you're making a mosaic of memories, have a day where you outgrow your father. But I did. That was that day. And, you know, I had to remind Father from time to time after that he was grounded and that this serious manner of his was affecting the town. And that my powers could change that, but I would prefer, you know, and Father, he couldn't change, you know. But he couldn't change that he loved me at the same time. And so, you know, it wasn't long that he moved down from town. And, you know, it wasn't long before things began to change again. You know, I couldn't hide my powers much longer. And the commitments I'd made to keep our town full of water and food and unified, it couldn't keep that secret much longer either. I mean, you can wear a mask and you can wear a cape and you can do all those things. But our town continued to have Halloween balls, some, you know, sparsely attended and some not so sparsely attended. And your father, after he left town and after he left those responsibilities, he became a less serious man. You know, I still would go visit him and check in on him. And I had, you know, his energy. I love my father. And I guess I found it's tough to explain these things without being, but the gravity was taken out of a relationship, I guess. And so when I would visit him, you know, I'd bring him some Halloween candy and I would knock on his door and say, trick or treat. So suddenly our relationship was much lighter. And, you know, the world was yet again changing. And so what was important became important again. And I think Father's eyes, I don't know. I mean, I was growing up too. So it's like, you know, the bird flies away, but the bird, you know, I don't know if the bird returns to the same nest or not, but I did. I said, you know, I don't know. It sounds like a sad story, but in fact, it's not sad at all. You know, it's just like, these are the things that happen. And I love my father. You know, did I learn more about him and the cost of his seriousness? Well, you know, I wouldn't be a serious person without him. And I think I fell back into those same patterns many a time. So thank you. I hope that's enough of a mosaic for you, because it's enough for me sharing all these things. Thank you. What's your name? Little Joseph Andy, whatever your name. Thank you for having me on. All right, thanks, you. Thanks. Wow. So that's Mosaic Memories, your favorite podcast about the Mosaic's memories. Good night, everybody.
All right, everybody. This is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on. In the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from. On Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the 10 to I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlists or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.